1-800-361-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network and Oceanway at 91.7. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and the discussion as we face the issues. As we face the issues each and every day, we encourage you to dial 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We'll be talking about an issue today that I believe is relevant, I believe is real, and I believe we must reflect on it and ascertain what God would have us to do. We're talking about refuting false teachers. Now, I've got a headline on one from one writer says, should we call out false teachers or just ignore them? We need to recognize there's a scriptural reference of what we should do. Another headline, how should Christians respond to false teachers? Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking about refuting false teachers, false teachings. It's synonymous, basically. We know that most of what we hear in a political campaign is not real, not true. We all agree that most sales pitches are filled with puff and half-truths. You ever had somebody call you on the telephone selling something or knock on your door? That's not as often today as it was in yesteryear. But they'll call and start the conversation, how are you today, da-da-da-da. My first question is, what are you selling? Who are you calling for, and what are you selling? And most of the time, they hang up. But most of the time, a sales call or a sales pitch is filled with fluff. In fact, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but the courts ruled many years ago, and I can't even tell you the year. In fact, the appeals court, the Supreme Court ruled when a case was made about an individual buying something, and it was his claim in the courts was that they lied to him. They said this, this, and the product would do this, this, and this. And the courts ruled that should be expected with a sales pitch that there would be a lot of puff, P-U-F-F, puff in the sales pitch. And you can't count on everything that's said being true. Most of us, ladies and gentlemen, agree that and recognize that much of the packaging of food today. You ever read just the ingredients on food packaging on a product? Let's say a breakfast bar. You look at the packaging and it tells you the ingredients and just a whole list. And most of the things that it lists, you don't understand. You don't know what it's saying. Then it says it could have GMOs. Well, most people don't even know what a GMO is, what it means. And then the recent phenomena in packaging, it says it's economically sustainable. Economically sustainable. What does that mean? The FDA has given most food product packaging companies the authorization to use that term when there's some kind of cricket or bugs that have been, as they call it, composted, flour made into flour, and then put into the product that provides the additional protein. But it's false packaging. packaging of food and other products that can have false information on the labels. But ladies and gentlemen, we should not have to worry, be concerned in relationship to false packaging, so to speak, when it comes to the gospel message. When it comes to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, we shouldn't have to wonder, is it true? Is it real? Can we count on it? Can we depend on it? What does it really say? What does it really mean? We ought not to have to analyze it, look at it. But unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, a whole lot of what's being said today from pulpits across America and from microphones by way of television and radio, much of what is heard today that's supposed to be the proclamation of the gospel or the preaching and the teaching of the Bible is not what the Bible says. We need to be aware of that. And so the question then, who are these false teachers? Well, we could spend a week on this broadcast day after day after day, still could not enumerate all of them, still could not determine all of those across the nation who may be teaching and preaching false doctrine, false theology, and false teaching, if you will, in general. But they're there. So we need to analyze just a few things, look at just a few indicators, and most of all, what does the Bible say about false teachings and false teachers? And we're going to look at that today. And as we base the issues, we do so based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the truth book. John 8:31-32, when Jesus is speaking to his disciples, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we need to do, and the recognition of the Word of God as being the truth book. And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God that, according to Psalms 117:2, endures forever. I like things that endure forever. I like things that have eternal consequences, eternal values, eternal in its nature. Truth matters. We need to understand that. It was the secularist George Orwell that made the statement. He had that dystopian novel entitled 1984. It was published in 1947, 48, 49, but it was written in projection of what would be in the governmental affairs and the government in America in 1984. But in that, there was a statement that is indelibly true today. He said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And it's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that has the truth book. Former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, this is what DeMint said. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in America. Ladies and gentlemen, the sad thing is today, according to the latest survey, 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, do not believe in a uniformity and a totality of truth. They make the statement, each person determines their own version of truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And that's my challenge to you each and every day, is that we seek the truth. And I don't know of any other category in life that it is any more needful to seek the truth than in theological, doctrinal, biblical preaching and teaching. Seek the truth. Listen to it. Learn it. Love it. Tell it. Live it. And defend it, even to death. And I believe there's coming a time in our lifetime when we're going to have to stand and defend the truth, not shy away from it, not in some way in cowering from standing for the truth, but stand for truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of the 295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is flying Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. Base that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff at Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordains to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917. Love to hear from you. Perhaps you've got a Bible question that you've been told the Bible says this and means this. Perhaps you want to ask a question and validate what you have heard as to what that text says. Perhaps you'd like to call today and share with me as we talk about confronting or refuting false teachings and false teachers. How do you identify one? Perhaps you have asked some questions about what you've heard, something that sounds strange. Somebody said on one occasion, if it sounds strange, it may be strange. If it sounds unusual, it may be unusual. We need to ask the question, ladies and gentlemen, what we hear preaching and teaching need to be as the Berean Christians in Acts 17. We need to search the scriptures and see if it be so, that which we hear being taught from pulpits. Just because it's across the nation by way of radio or television doesn't mean that it's always true or correct. We need to be able to discern the difference. Ladies and gentlemen, we should not have to look at and listen to preaching and teaching and analyze it and try to get the nuances of what is said. There are those that are questioning multitudes of the things that are being preached and taught today that are correct, and they're questioning it simply because what they have heard, what they've been told is true, is different from what they're hearing that's really true. We should not have to sift through, analyze, and question every preaching and teaching that tell us that he's preaching the truth from the Word of God. Yet we're faced today with multitudes of false teachers, false teachings. Every individual must be very, very careful of what we hear and what we're told to believe about the Word of God. Over and over in the Scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, we're warned about false teachers and false teachings. One of them, for example, that comes to mind, and I'll read a few verses and we'll talk about it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, the scripture says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves." That's the serious caution that's given. That caution that's given in Matthew chapter 7, it's verse 15 through 21. The scripture's speaking there of the false teachers. First of all, we see in that text, they're deceptive. They're deceptive. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. Secondly, they're dangerous. Says they're ravening wolves. What does it mean? They look like, talk like, and act like that which is real and relevant. They will walk like, talk like, and act like, and say, as I call it, God talk, if you please. but they're ravening wolves. That is, they are dangerous because they are deceptive in what they're saying. And verses 22 and following in that same text, the scripture says in the text, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Ladies and gentlemen, these false teachers are generally religious. They are rebellious. They want to argue. The scripture says in verse 22, 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There's a mindset, ladies and gentlemen, that I can preach and teach and twist the scripture. There are a lot of people today that will preach and teach the scripture and leave verses out and pick and pluck and just take out of context words or phrases or verses. And multitudes today will allegorize or say that those events have already happened, or will reject the truth of the word. For example, like the book of the Revelation, they reject it. Many of them today will simply destroy the book of the Revelation if you hear them preach or teach on it. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, how are you this morning?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. Your topic of conversation brought me to mind of Luke's writing there about, I think his name was Apollos, and he was preaching the gospel, but it was a slightly skeltered kind of form of it. And then the two that start Aquila and what's her husband's name?
Aquila and Priscilla,
then corrected him, and he went on to become an evangelist. And I've heard you often say that iron sharpens iron, and it brings me to the thought that, you know, the Baptist convention and trying to keep a Christian message across the board that's homogeneous and is available and it is the same. And it also comes down to the congregation member themselves taking that time to open the Bible and to read it and then go through and examine the word with careful consideration, discernment, and prayer. And then if you have an issue in your congregation, go forth in a loving manner. But I understand the other side of it where you have, and I've heard you say this as well, cotton candy theology, where you have like the Olstein model, or the prosperity model, and these people are out there using just enough of the word to actually turn and tickle others' ears because it's something they want to hear and it makes them feel good. Because the truth, it's a hard thing to accept the truth. And it takes a discerning mind and a lot of prayer, and you really have to be in touch with yourself and Jesus, especially Jesus, and praying to him to open your eyes and to show you the meaning of the word. But anyway, that's my two cents on that subject, sir.
Jim, you're exactly right. I'm looking at, as you state that, I jump over into 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Study, when you analyze that from the Greek text, study talks about the labor. It's laborious. It takes time. It takes effort to get into the word, study the word. Study to show thyself approved. It is the word dokimos, approved before God, unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. That rightly dividing means to cut the furrow straight. It goes back to the picture of a farmer with his mule and plow, and he looks at from one side of the field, and he focuses on the pine tree 100 yards away and puts that plow point in the ground and then starts headed toward that tree, cutting it straight. And it takes time and labor to do that. And unfortunately, and you touched on that, the Christian, the believer, needs to take time in the Word to study the Word. The Berean Christians in Acts 17, I believe it's verses 15, 16, 17, they were listening to the preachers, but they studied the Scripture to see if what they're hearing aligned with the Scripture, to see if it's correct. And so, as you said, it takes the church member, the Christian, that time to get in the Word and speak and teach, speak what is being taught and correct. But when the Scripture says, Jim, in Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly ravenous wolves. That word beware means to be alert, to be aware of those who look and speak the part, but are not doing that which is according to the Scripture, but are simply after the sheep. So the question that I need to ask, Jim, from your perspective, from your opinion, should Christians confront false teachers? Should Christians publicly call them out? The headline says, should we call out false teachers or just ignore them, one headline says. Another one says, how should Christians respond to false teachers? If you hear something that's false, you know that it's false, should you call it out? That's my question.
Yes, it should be called out, and that's part of the reason I brought up Aquila and Priscilla there. They understood that Apollos was trying to do the best with his understanding of the gospel, and they discerned him to not be evil about it, but they gently corrected him. And then there's going to be those that are going to be outright using the word of our Lord Jesus Christ to manipulate others, and those individuals should be called out as well. I don't know if you're going to attempt to be as loving with them depending on their record, but it does require a certain amount of discernment, and if you're telling the individual over and over and over and over again that you're doing this wrong, this is actually very wrong, at some point you're going to have to shake that dust off of your cloak and your sandals and then walk away and then have that member removed from the congregation and be the watchman on the wall and tell those that are falling under that enticement or seduction or whatever there that they're being taught unsound principles and that it's not the truth for the Word of God. So, yes, they should be confronted.
Absolutely. Just as with, and I'll say this and let you go, Andy Stanley, most people have already understood, and there's much being said today publicly about Andy's teaching. Andy Stanley says the Old Testament needs to be jettisoned. Andy Stanley says the Ten Commandments are not relevant to the Christian today. Andy Stanley says that we need to correct the Lord's Prayer. Andy Stanley says that if it comes down to science or the Bible in relationship to the creation story in the Scripture, Genesis 1 and 2, we need to trust science and not the Bible. And I could go on and on and on. The Pope says, for example, homosexuality is not sin. You must understand God created you that way. The Pope says, for example, that Jesus Christ is not divine. He's not God at all. When it comes to that, I think the Christians need to listen up, speak up, and not embrace it, but to confront it and to uncover it and reject it out of hand. That's my position. That's the position that I take. In fact, in the Scripture it says, mark them that bring about division among you and have nothing to do with them. And that's what Christians need to learn to do today. Jim, thank you so much for your call. Have a blessed day. Keep looking
you
up.
Too, sir.
Our redemption draweth nigh. I believe Jose is on the line. Go over with the question or comment, please.
Hey, brother, I believe it's time for the church to start speaking truth. You know what I mean? Many people in the pulpit, they are so afraid to speak. Let's say, not attack, but quote what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. Hey, this is what you hear. This is what they say. But this is what the word of the Lord says, in a polite way. Tell the members, those people that are willing to listen to the Bible, what the Bible says. What is so difficult about it? And I think, I don't want to sound too radical. I don't want to attack. I don't want to judge. Wait a minute. All you're doing is quoting what the Bible says. There's nothing wrong with it. You know what I mean? It's worse to be silent and be complacent. You know what I mean? With the nonsense that is being preached about. And I think that's the problem that we have. We had a lot of people that they got lit, and they don't want to be loved by everybody, and they don't want to quote what the Bible says. I remember I was in a Bible study. Oh, then with Americans and me and my wife, we were there. And these guys, he did a disclosure. You know, when you go to the movie theaters and they said that this movie has violence content and this, he was making a disclosure, letting us know that he was going to speak about when Moses parted the Red Sea. But honestly, I don't think that happened. I don't believe that happens. Everybody was silent. I raised my hand. I said, wait a minute. That's in the Bible, brother. If you don't believe it, I'm sorry. That's your problem. But it is on the Bible, and the Lord said it. Wait, and you got these kind of people. They don't want to be confrontative. They don't want to be sound radical. In a nice, polite way, I told him, I disagree with you 100%. How are you going to teach something that you don't believe in? But this is the new so-called Christians teaching in universities, lukewarm, worldly Christians, that they want to mingle with the world because they don't want to sound radical. The Bible, you know what I mean? And I think that's a problem. We got godless Christians that they can't stand up for what the Bible says. And the Bible called us to defend the faith in a nice
Absolutely.
Way.
Jose, you're exactly right. In fact, I'm looking at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 4, and I'll not read it all, but the first second verse, the Apostle Paul is charging young Timothy to preach the word. Preach the word. Mm-hmm. Caruso, herald the word. And he says then in verse 3, 2 Timothy chapter 4, for the time will come when they will not endure, that means to put up with, tolerate, adhere to, sound, that means true, healthy, solid doctrine, where doctrine means teaching, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, that is very, very clear. The Apostle Paul warning young Timothy that the time will come. And Jose, I've said for several years now, the time has come. We've got to the point where people will fill gigantic buildings and sit and listen and be appeased by the smooth talking of many of these false teachers today. There's one recently I listened to and watched on by way of television, Dr. Robert Morris. Morris said that Jesus was not divine when he was here on earth. He was human. His divinity left when he left heaven. He left his divinity. And only after he was buried and rose again, ascended back into heaven, did he become divine again. That's what was taught from his pulpit. I sat and watched it with absolute amazement, because as the cameras panned through the congregation, he probably had 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people present. No telling how many millions listen by way of radio. And so the mindset is, if he said it, that settles it. He's a high-profile preacher. He's on national, international television. It must be correct. So I'm going to embrace that belief and pass it on perhaps to sons, daughters, and family members that Jesus Christ is not really God. In fact, I read a major article online this morning where through Robert Morris and his studies, one of the articles that he promulgates out there, was that you can't find any place in the Bible where his family members believed that he was divine. His family members even did not see him as divine, so therefore he was not divine at all. There is that permeates society today. And so the question is, Jose, how do you treat that which is on national, international television and radio that, as I put it, is in competition with the pastor that's preaching and teaching solid doctrine, biblical truth, and yet people will tune in and listen to that and bias their opinion? How do you handle that? What do you do? What should Christians do? Oh, I didn't know Jose was gone. Jose, that was the whole point. We need to understand that as Christians, we need to take a stand, and the confronting of that, calling it out like it is, not out of spite or in any way retaliatory, but in the realization and the recognition that it will destroy the belief in so many thousands or hundreds of thousands of people if we're not very, very careful. The scripture is very clear. Beware, the scripture said. Beware, that means be alert. Be aware of those who speak, part, and try to look like it is a real thing, the honesty, but they are out simply to merchandise or to get the sheep. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about 1 minute top of the hour news. After the news, we'll come back as we continue to talk today, refuting false teachings.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church.